morning, Sewell. It's good to see all of you this morning. We're going to start with a worship song, and if we were physically together, I would pass around the percussion bag, but I can't do that. So if you have a percussion instrument, or if you just want to make some rhythmic sounds with whatever you have available, please do so.
We light the Christ candle, we remember that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And now a responsive reading from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of the glory thunders.
The Lord over mighty waters,
the voice of the Lord is powerful,
the voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Sirion like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Good morning, Church Without Walls. I am Tim Zener Davis. I'm a member here at Church Without Walls. And right now, I would like to ask all of you to unmute yourselves, please. When you are unmuted, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. On the count of three, we're going to say together, good morning, sisters. Good morning, brothers. No justice, no peace.
Ready?
One, two, three. We want to take this opportunity to welcome those of you who are visitors or newcomers with us here at Church Without Walls. Welcome to our community. We are a community that follows Jesus, loving God, the Bible, our neighbor, and the world. We'd like to invite you, if you would like more information about our church community, or if you would like to be added to our email list just to keep up with what's going on in the life of our church, you can go down to the chat box and look for Admin CWOW and just put in your information in there, and you will get hooked up. You can also go to our website and do it there as well if you feel. Just want to remind folks, if you haven't already, go and grab your communion elements. Remember, that can be bread, juice, or wine, coffee and a tortilla, water and a cracker. Whatever you have will suffice. Want to remind folks also that we will be breaking off into chat groups later on in the service. So those of you who are new to our community, be prepared for that, and then we'll come back together as a church. I don't have any announcements right now, but there are several announcements that are going to be made. So we will jump into those, jump into a reading of the word, and then jump in to the good word that the pastor has for us this morning.
Good morning, church. My name is Vanita Lee, and I want to personally invite you to another upcoming movie night. This Friday, July 24th at 7:30, we are going to watch the movie The Farewell. And it will be, yes, at 7:30. And I will be sending out an email plus a link, because we'll meet up first at 7:30 briefly, and then folks can feel free to go off and watch the movie at that point. We'll still have the Zoom link available, so people on mute can still send chat messages to one another as we watch the movie. And then after the movie, we will come back together and have a reflections discussion. In the email, I'll be sending questions as well. Those are questions thanks to Sylvia. She had sent them before for a previous movie. Just want to invite you to join us for a fun night of movie and hopefully popcorn. Alrighty, so thanks everyone.
Hi, C-Wowzers. Speaking of movie night, do you remember the 80s movie about the end of the world coming and evil taking over and our hero having to go through dangers and traps all the way to just to find an ancient temple which contained an artifact that would surely end the evil that's taking over the world, avoiding the apocalypse? And upon reaching that temple, our hero had to go to approach the monks there, spin a prayer spinner, and say, I want the knife. Well, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, you'll be saying, I want the knife after taking my knife skills class this afternoon at 4 o'clock right here on the CWOW channel. I'll see you then.
Well, I'm following those fun announcements with another book group. Actually, it's a great book group. I know a lot of us are in book groups, and a lot of us are doing a lot of good work, like facing hard things and learning new things and engaging in ways that are really important this summer. But we do have another book group that has just emerged. It's called Beyond Colorblind, and it's by actually a friend of mine that I know from Boston, Sarah Shin, Korean-American woman, who has, I just have been really encouraged and impressed by her ministry, and I'm privileged to have been able to hear about the book before it became a book, and now it's a book. So I think it's a really good addition to what we've been learning, because it's a powerful, positive vision for racial justice. It's a deeply biblical, powerful, positive vision. And I think it really provides, for me anyway, a lot of encouragement to lean into the hard things around racial justice, because there's a positive vision at the end. And we now have a critical mass for this group. And as we learned last week from the Party Panda and the Crazy Koala, there are lots of ways to find out more details on the website in This Week at CWOW. And on the calendar, we will be starting next Monday. Would love to see you there. And now we have I Wonder with Teacher Sarah.
Hi, Godly Play Kids. Oh, it's so nice to see you this morning. Some of you are playing. Some of you are having snacks. I see. Some of you are cozying. Isn't it nice to do those things at church? I think I'm going to get my snack. Oh, we miss you so much. We're so happy to see you. You're really important to us. I was thinking about a time when my own kid, Charlotte, was really little this morning. She was so small. She couldn't see over high things or reach up to high things. And one time, we went on a trip, and we didn't know it, but there was a parade. We went to the parade. But we were late, so we had to stand way in the back. There were like 8 people standing between us. We could hardly see anything. And then the people in the parade started throwing candy. Has that happened to you ever? You ever been someplace where someone's throwing candy? They were throwing candy, and every candy they threw was caught by someone in front of us. We were just too far back, and all the tall hands would reach out and grab the candy, and Charlotte had no chance. There was no way she could reach that candy. She was like 3 years old.
I think they should put
So I'm going to tell you what happened at the end of the story, Clive. So what happened is I got all of my energy up because, you know, I'm not a small lady. I'm pretty tall. And I crouched down. And I used my legs and my power, and when the next float was coming, I jumped up and I caught the candy for Charlotte. And she was so happy, and I was so happy. So my question for you today is, I wonder if that has ever happened to you. Have you been someplace where, like, you were like, man, I'm too little. I can't reach that. I'm too small. And I wonder, has anyone done anything like that for you? Have they like lifted you up high on their shoulders? Maybe one of your grown-ups is really tall. Did they lift you up? Did that happen to you? How did you feel when that happened?
Can I make an example?
Maybe next time. I wonder how you felt when you got up to be lifted up for what you wanted to see and reach. I wonder how your grown-up felt, too, when they were lifting you up. Okay, I love you guys so much. So nice to see you. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Now we're going to have our time in our weekly community time to just hang out and reconnect in the middle of our time of disconnection. And if you are a Godly Play Kid and you would like to answer Teacher Sarah's really cool I Wonder question in our group, then you can do that. But I have an I Wonder question for all of us, and this is something that you can answer no matter what your age is, that will help us get ready to hear our sacred stories this morning. As you share and hang out tonight, I'm wondering if you might want to share, what's one thing you learned about money from your family while you were growing up? What's one thing you learned about money from your family growing up? And it could be something that your mom or dad told you directly, or it could be something that you just noticed and you learned it that way. You can learn by hearing or you can learn by watching. What is one thing you learned about money from your family while you were growing up? Have a great time in your groups. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Sacred Story Time. This is our summer of sacred stories. And so today we have, first of all, the story of Zacchaeus that we're going to hear from Luke 19. And then we're going to hear another sacred story from Kevin and Joyce. And then I'm going to try to put those stories together briefly before we move into worship. So let's begin with the story of Zacchaeus.
Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through it. A man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be a guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Should we go ahead, Gary?
Should we go, Gary? All right. Were you going to make any intro? All right. Okay.
All right.
All right. Hi, everyone. So a couple of weeks ago, Gary gave a sermon comparing an oppressive economy versus a jubilee economy. And a jubilee economy being one where economic laws were meant to restore equity. For example, sharing of crops, returning land to the families who lost them. The point was for all people to be able to experience fruitfulness. And so today we're sharing about how we've been processing this as a couple. So a little background, when we got married last year, we decided to join our finances, and that really required us to have a lot of different conversations about how we spend our money, how our families and upbringing has shaped how we view money, and how we make financial decisions. We both have immigrant parents who have faced financial hardship in the country that they immigrated from. And afterwards, they were able to establish financial security in the United States due to many different factors. So going back to the breakout session, what we shared, so I think from my family, they shared a lot. Growing up, I had a lot of financial lessons about saving money, working hard, being generous with friends, family, and those in need. And one thing was, when you buy something, don't buy the cheapest item, don't buy the most expensive item, but buy something that's like mid-tier to high-tier so that you don't have to buy it again. And for Joyce, what was yours?
Oh, it was buy everything, buy it on sale, especially clothing. Like, you don't spend time at the front of the store. Just go straight to the back to the sale rack.
Yeah, so growing up, I think both of us, we didn't really have to worry that much about money. Because our parents' financial security really afforded us a lot of opportunities and financial privileges, like being able to go into higher education and get full-time jobs. And
yeah, so we wanted to share like that briefly, just as a background to how we've been processing like this idea of a jubilee economy. And obviously, like everyone, you know, here today, like we all come from different financial backgrounds. And I think we're called to different actions, like in this economy, in the jubilee economy, whether it's receiving, whether it's to give. But for us, we've been trying to really be honest about the privileges that we have and the position that we are in to give. So one thing we've been thinking about is how America's economy was sort of established and just the racist and oppressive ways that that foundation was established. For example, stolen land, slavery, and how that oppressive system continues to exist today. And we've been thinking a lot too, especially like as Asian Americans, like how have we been used by that system? How have we benefited from it? How have we been complicit in it? And so when thinking about giving, one thing we've been asking ourselves is like, how can we reimagine giving? Not necessarily like as like an optional charitable thing, but as a responsibility and a requirement to liberate all of us from this in this system, and to really invest in equity. And you know, alongside all of that, we've been trying to like process what are the things that have shaped our attitude around money, like what makes us, for example, like hesitate, right, when it comes to giving or how we give and things like who we give to. And one of the things we realized is like the advice and lessons we were given by our family was greatly shaped by their experience, which is not necessarily our experience. So for example, Kevin mentioned like our families both experienced poverty, and you know, they came here with, you know, this idea of like in America, people call it like the American dream. Like if you work hard, you'll succeed and you'll be secure. And I think that, you know, like I don't invalidate the fact that they did work hard, but I think that idea of like you'll get what you kind of deserve can also kind of penalize different people. And it can also kind of lead to this feeling of like entitlement, like we're entitled to what we have and we can kind of hoard it. And so, you know, added to all of that, like there's, you know, our own selfishness, like our own greed, our own actually reckless ways of how we spend money. And all of that's to say is that we're, you know, this is difficult to admit to everyone, you know, to in public, but it's like, it's really easy for us to avoid giving, and we don't necessarily, you know, feel like we even give enough right now. Yeah.
And so I think one thing that's a blessing and a lesson that we got from our parents is that they really modeled a collective mindset. They gave us wisdom that sharing wealth and resources, giving and receiving, is really essential to not only helping yourself, but helping other people and your community thrive. One of our most joyful experiences of giving has been within community. Whether it's giving in a giving small group at CWOW or in a church-wide giving week. Last summer, we joined a giving group led by Marco and Miho. And in that group, we explored how to give thoughtfully and effectively, and more practically, we made commitments to give. And the group really helped us to have deeper conversations with our community about how we're called to give in Jesus' upside-down kingdom. And I think we found that it's easy to kind of go into the thinking that, you know, giving is optional, but that puts us in danger of aligning with this oppressive system, and to live with the mindset of, like what Joy said, what we have is completely ours. So money is typically a really private topic, but Jesus repeatedly warned us in the Bible against loving money more than loving God and loving his people. And so we found it helpful to think about our relationship with money in the safety of community. And we found that in community, we've really been able to have more of these honest conversations. And that's and in community to be challenged to live the way that God is calling us to. So as we end our sharing, we just want to acknowledge that we are still learning and processing all of this. And we'd love to have further conversations with our community, with each of you, if you're interested, and what you guys are processing with God throughout all of this. So thanks for listening.
Yeah, feel free to reach out.
Thank you so much, Kevin and Joyce. And I just want to say how much I've learned about money and about God's restorative justice from your example and from being in some of those community conversations as well. And I'd actually just like to take a few minutes to continue that conversation now, and maybe to link up the story of Zacchaeus and the story of Kevin and Joyce, and to ask what is the word that God has for us this morning through these stories. And I think this Zacchaeus story is a strikingly different story than we've been hearing from Jesus in Luke, Because overall, Jesus has told many people's stories, and some of them are the stories of people he's meeting. Some of them are the stories of people that he's making up in parables. But usually they are about people who have been marginalized, who have been oppressed, and who are entering the kingdom with joy. And Jesus' message is that the upside down kingdom is especially for them. And we haven't heard too many positive stories about people who are more privileged, people for whom the system works, people who are rulers or who are on top of the system. In fact, I can't really think of any since we heard about Joanna like a year ago. Remember when Bruce talked about Joanna? She was a good example of that. And 2 weeks ago, we heard a story about a rich ruler who was invited into the kingdom, but went away sad. So that was a story of how, like, for those whom the system works, for those who experience privilege, it's actually harder to enter this kingdom. And so he went away sad. But now we have Zacchaeus, who is not just short, but he is actually an example of a person who has experienced privilege and who enters the kingdom with joy and happiness. So I think that this is a word, especially for those of us, and I know it's complicated to know how do we relate to this system, these systems, to what extent are we privileged, to what extent does the system work for us? And I really appreciate Kevin and Joyce kind of like sharing some of those nuances in their own story. But for those of us who would experience or would identify as privileged in some way, I think there's a special message for us this week with the story of Zacchaeus. And so I would like to, and thanks again to Joyce for reminding us of the distinction in Jesus' own teaching between the colonial economy of Rome and the Jubilee economics of his kingdom. And so if you want to hear more about that, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. But just to quickly remind us, the colonial economic system was there to protect the honor and status of the rich through maintaining economic inequality. That's how the system was designed to function, to protect the honor and status of the rich through maintaining inequality. You needed those people to be on top. And as Joyce and Kevin mentioned, I think that there are a lot of parallels in our present consumerist capitalist economy. Again, it's complicated, but it is true that our present system that we are all living under was built on stolen land and stolen labor, which was justified by white supremacy. That's just a historical fact. And that has had echoes, and that system is what we live out today. And that our current policies and even our current COVID crisis, we see vastly increasing that inequality, that it's actually getting worse. That inequality is getting worse. And so this was the system, these sort of systems that was there to protect the honor and status of the rich through maintaining inequality, was the system that Zacchaeus was prosperous in. You know, the scripture, as we see that says that he was a chief tax collector and was rich. So when it says he was a chief tax collector, the word there is the same word that Jesus used of the rich ruler that we met 2 weeks ago. He was a ruler, he was a tax collector, and he was rich. The system worked for him. And for tax collectors who were Jewish, there was actually an extra level of injustice, because you had the colonial economy where the Romans, the occupying force, were taking all this money back to Rome. But then there were the Jewish tax collectors who were collaborating with that oppressive economy, and they added an extra layer of injustice, because not only were they maintaining the taxes by sending them off to Rome, but in order for them to make any money, they had to actually get a little extra too. So the most successful tax collectors were those that didn't just do their job, but how did they get rich? They actually asked for even more. And so the Jubilee economy that Jesus is talking about would seem to be very, very threatening to Zacchaeus. Because the goal of the Jubilee economy that we see in the Torah, that we see in the prophets, and that now Jesus is joyously announcing to everyone in Palestine, the Jubilee economy, the goal of that economy is to protect the flourishing of the poor through restorative justice. It's to protect the flourishing of the poor in particular through restorative justice. So it's a whole system that was especially focused on those who were at the bottom, and a system to make sure that through what, for whatever reason, that that folks like that would be restored, and that there would be an overall sense of inclusion and justice in community. It really is a beautiful picture of what the economy should look like. And it's something that I think, you know, there's a reason why at the beginning of COVID, we did our big giving thing and we called it the Stimulus Jubilee. We use those words because that concept is so important. It's a whole different economic system that through our communal giving, our communal experience, really we're just trying to sort of say, like, can we lean into this Jubilee system of economics? Can we participate in the upside down kingdom in this way? And I think that the story of Zacchaeus here has a whole, because Zacchaeus is participating in Jubilee, I think it's a whole different picture of economics and a whole different picture of giving for those of us who would identify as privileged in some way. So Noel, if we could go to the last slide there, to verses 8-10, this is where we'll start at the end here, where you know, Zacchaeus has been seeking Jesus. Jesus sees him. They have this great interaction, and everybody's unhappy about all this interaction. And then at the end, Zacchaeus does bravely turn around, and it says he stood there. And the word there in Greek is very strong. It means he stood his ground, and he turned around to the crowd who's unhappy with him, and he says to Jesus, "Look, half my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." What this really is a beautiful, succinct expression of the Jubilee economy. And in fact, he went even further than the Jubilee economy. All those laws about how to protect the poor through restorative justice, he said he would do even more. In ways that he was complicit in an oppressive system, he actually said he would pay back four times as much, which is even more than you would ever find in the Old Testament. So it's very interesting. I'm not sure what he heard from Jesus that day. How did he understand so much about the Jubilee economy to sort of stand there and say, and even when it says there, "Lord, I will give to the poor," the Greek there is actually, it's not just saying in the future I'll kind of do this. He's actually expressing an ongoing, constant commitment to this. He's really expressing a lifestyle. He's saying, "Jesus, this is how I live. I live out in a permanent lifestyle way. I live out the Jubilee economy." And I just think this is so striking for a person of privilege to get it so much. And it really, like, if we can take our cues from Zacchaeus here, I think it helps to transition us to a whole new way of thinking about giving, which is exactly what Kevin and Joyce were talking about, how they are transitioning to that picture. Because I know that even when good Christian organizations ask middle and upper class people for money, how do they do it? How do they ask for money? I would say overall, their main marketing method is flattery leading to paternalism. You know, I actually studied this for my dissertation years ago. I can't even remember what I studied, but one of the things I did study is I looked at organizations like World Vision and all of these good Christian organizations that care about justice, and I looked at their marketing methods, and all of them really were there to flatter people who were rich and had money to give, and to tell them how generous they were and how thoughtful they were, and it led to a sort of savior complex of kind of saying, like, yes, I get to feel good about myself because even though I have every right to my private property, I am generously giving of some of my stuff. Instead, I think this picture of protecting the flourishing of the poor through restorative justice is Zacchaeus saying, like, I acknowledge and admit that, you know, he's defrauded people, that participating in this unjust, that a lot of the money he gets is unjust. And so what he's doing is just giving back to people what is rightfully theirs. And that's a very, very different picture of giving for those of us who would identify as privileged or for whom the system works for us in some ways. Now, what's the result of all this? Like, this can feel like one of the things I shared in our small group is that I learned to not talk about money, and I learned to be sort of very defensive about money. I am Dutch American, and so that that phrase "going Dutch," like, we lived that out in my family. We were very defensive and private about money, and I think part of that was to protect ourselves, because to think about if the system works for you, to think about protecting the flourishing of the poor through restorative justice can feel threatening. But was it threatening for Zacchaeus? And maybe we can go to the middle slide here. There's just three words I want to focus on as we close. One of the things, and what we noticed in the beginning in the famous story of Zacchaeus climbing a tree because he's too short and the crowd's there, he's desperately looking for Jesus. But he wasn't just looking for Jesus. Jesus was also looking for him. And so Jesus sees him, a person who is privileged, who would seem to be totally against his calling to everyone to the upside down kingdom. But he sees Jesus and he says, actually, Zacchaeus, I'm going to your house today. And so Zacchaeus, look what it says. He hurried down and was happy to welcome him. This person who Jesus, who he could have seen as a threatening prophet, who's threatening his own economic position and power, he was happy to see Jesus because he got it. He wanted in on the Jubilee economy, that he was happy. This participation in giving in this new way, it made him happy, even as a privileged person. And then go back to the last slide, if we could, look at what Jesus said to him at the end. He said two things. Today, salvation has come to this house, for he too is a son of Abraham. Jesus spoke words of, you know, so Zacchaeus was happy, and then Jesus spoke words of salvation and inclusion. Jesus basically said, Zacchaeus, you're in. You're part of this upside down kingdom. You get it. Through your actions, it's not like he earned his salvation, but he showed that he wanted in to Jesus' upside down economy. And the result for him was happiness, salvation, and inclusion in the true economy that God is doing in the world. And so I just think that's a tremendous message of hope for those of us who are really wrestling with our privilege and wondering what to do. And I think the actions that Zacchaeus took, our ability in community to step in to reparative giving, to reparations, to restorative justice through our giving, I think will result in happiness and salvation and inclusion if we can get past the defensiveness, if we can get past the scariness, if we can support each other in this. I believe that we can, as we grow together, that we can be sons of Abraham and sons and daughters of Zacchaeus as we step into these things. So I'd like to invite Jody to come now and to lead us in worship. And if I could, I'd just like to pray for us and our stories as well. Jesus, I thank you for the story of Zacchaeus. I thank you for Kevin and Joyce's story. And Jesus, I pray that you would continue to knit our stories together, as some of us are more privileged, some of us are less privileged, but we all desire to be part of your upside down kingdom. And Jesus, we know it looks different for all of us. We pray that you would show each one of us our place in your upside down kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we'll have a chance to just respond and worship. And this first song I picked because just thinking about our current situation and our economy, sometimes it feels overwhelming. How can we fix things? Will there ever be a fix? And so as I was looking at the words of this song and just the prayer to God to give us vision to see things like he does, to give us wisdom to know just what to do, just felt, at least for me, like a very appropriate response and wanting to be like Zacchaeus and seeing our economy and seeing our country in the way that God sees and invites us into. Be overwhelmed. Give me this.
things like you do. Your will be done.
Amen. Thank you. So this morning, through Gary's sermon, through Joyce and Kevin sharing, through the worship, we've had an opportunity to hear about something that for every single one of us, I can say is really, really loaded. It's the topic of money. And I wonder this morning, as you were in worship, as you listened to the stories, how this topic, which is stressful for almost all of us, engaged you. Maybe there are thoughts swirling around in your mind. Maybe there are feelings that you have, or maybe there's even like reactions and tensions you feel in your own body, just like stress, or maybe like, I am ready to get out of the service as fast as I can. I think one thing that's really clear, and especially around topics that are as complicated as money, we are fooling ourselves if we think that on our own, individualistically, with our good intentions, we can follow Jesus, because it's hard and we need the encouragement and help of community. So this morning, I'm here to invite you to take a step to join with community in following Jesus, and that is to get prayer. Every week, a group of prayer ministers are here to pray for you around the money, topic of money this week, but also for anything else that you might be going through in your job, in your personal life. We are here. This morning, I wanted to extend a specific welcome and invitation to anyone who feels like right now, like money and this topic of the Jubilee Kingdom actually just leads to feelings of guilt. That actually leads to inaction. If you might be feeling hopeless or despairing about your finances, if you just need courage to engage with this topic, if you're feeling just defensive, like I'm not Zacchaeus, this is not a word for me, or if you actually already may know something that Jesus is inviting you into, and that you may need encouragement, I would invite you to come for prayer. And I would in particular invite anyone who has never come for prayer or who rarely comes for prayer. I want you to feel especially invited. It's a very accessible, friendly thing. In the chat, there's info on how to go to the Zoom room where there will be prayer ministers waiting to pray with you. This morning, the prayer ministers that will be praying with you are Jim Chow Trotter, supported by his lovely wife, Abby Jensen, Ron Sum, and me as well. My name is Bora. So we look forward to praying with you.
Hello, CWOW. My name is Ed, and we're going to be doing moving into a time of communion. And so here at Church Without Walls, we invite followers of Jesus from any background to come share the table. If you don't feel like communion is the right step for you right now, we encourage you to sit and observe and take this time to ask God where he is present to you. Communion is communal. It's a time to remember what Christ did for us. Again, our current environment, some of us might find it difficult to be in a physical community with each other and to be served and to serve one another. Just remember, the remembrance part is a big thing, right? And we trust that God will meet you where you are at. If you'd like to participate in communion, I will have you serve communion to one another, first of bread, or tortilla, or rough salt, whatever you have, and then your wine, your coffee, or your water, as it leads us into our communion song. And so we celebrate that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus had a meal with his disciples. During that meal, he took bread, all right, so, and he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he took the cup, and he raised it, and he blessed it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you." This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And remember, even amidst the injustices and our own personal grappling with money and all these inequalities in our lives, every time we eat this bread and drink from this cup, we celebrate and proclaim Jesus' death, life, death, and resurrection, and that he is coming again. Now please extend your hands over your communion elements as I pray for them. Holy Spirit, come upon this bread and this cup and make them your very real presence. And Holy Spirit, would you come upon us and embolden us to fight against socioeconomic inequality, systemic injustice everywhere, and to protect the flourishing of the poor and to proclaim your Jubilee economy. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take and eat with hearts of joy and faith.
So much, Jody. As we go now, as we go to our afternoon, as we go to Chef Roy's knife class, which might be dangerous if we were all gathered together, but fortunately we are distanced and that'll be fun. I just want to send us off with the blessing of Zacchaeus as he welcomed Jesus, as the scripture says that he hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. So Siwau, as you welcome Jesus into your life this week, may you know that happiness of Zacchaeus. Go forth now in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.